Welcome to Spark Plug, where we talk to smart people working at the intersection of business and technology. Brought to you by Snowshoe, your smarter loyalty leader.
Spark Plug is excited to welcome Melissa Burdick to the podcast. Melissa is an innovative business strategist and an e-commerce thought leader. She has almost two decades of e-commerce experience, which is saying something in a growing industry. And in 2018, she founded PackView, an enterprise platform for e-commerce advertising, sales, and intelligence. Her company helps brands and sellers to grow their business across Amazon, Walmart, and many other marketplaces. And lastly to that, Melissa had a decade at Amazon, where she helped launch the consumer packaged goods retail business, which has probably touched all of us. So really, really happy to have someone who's been so instrumental at Amazon and in the retail e-commerce space. Welcome, Melissa.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we're excited to have you. And speaking of which, let's just jump right into your field of expertise, you know, e-commerce. Specifically, what has it been like in the world of e-commerce since the pandemic? You know, can you take us back to that spring of 2020 and what happened in the months following?
In 2020, in the pandemic, you know, the world shut down and everything went online. And for a lot of businesses, it hurt them, especially if they were fully brick and mortar. For our business at PackView, it accelerated us incredibly. And the specific business at PackView that we do, we sit on top of retail media networks like Amazon, Walmart, Instacart, Kroger that have advertising platforms. And we've since then really built out our suite that's all encompassing around sales operations and data insights. But at the time of 2020, what happened was Amazon had launched an advertising business. And that's really how we got started at PackView. I got the API, which is programmatic access to data that Amazon opened up and really democratized their data and their advertising offering. And we started building PackView in January 1st, 2018 is when we started. In 2020, everyone took a page out of the Amazon playbook. Amazon had started building this advertising business, which they just reported earnings yesterday, and I think is at $32 billion. And they saw that this is a really profitable way to make money for the retailers. And so in 2020, Walmart launched a retail media network, Target, Instacart, I mean, you name it, like everyone launched this retail media business. And we sit on top of all those APIs and work with all these retailers and typically first to market, which is part of our MO. So we were extremely busy working with all these retailers, helping them to shape their APIs and to launching them and bringing them to market.
Wow. And during the pandemic, things really, really shifted into high gear in terms of technology and retail stores using online tech to get their goods into the hands of consumers. So I assume that PackView really tracked that surge in your retailers going online during those few years.
Absolutely. And, you know, part of the interesting thing was that I think a lot of retailers like Amazon, who are, you know, really pure play direct online, did so well because they were totally, I mean, that was their business model. Others were totally not set up for it. And they felt this big pain initially, but they had to get up to speed really quickly. But before 2020 and the pandemic, especially with brands, big CPG brands, e-commerce was such a small percentage of their business. But the pandemic really brought that to forefront that, hey, we need to be really understanding this e-commerce thing and we need to invest more in it. We need to build teams around it. And so both the retailers and brands got kind of a rude awakening if they weren't pure plays and if they weren't really understanding e-commerce to start really understanding it. And they got kind of a crash course that they were forced to do.
Right. I mean, my mom and pop shop down the street had to figure out how to be online like almost overnight, you know, in a matter of a month, like our business is going to crash or we'll be online. It's one choice or the other, right?
Absolutely.
So during that time and even post that time, what are some e-commerce trends that are really exciting you right now? I mean, a lot has changed. What are you excited about?
You know, really, the other thing that happened during the pandemic is consumer behavior changed overnight. People that weren't online are now shopping online. And kind of coming out of the pandemic with people going back to stores, the big trend is omnichannel. It's really shopping everywhere. It's online, it's offline, it's in your car, it's on mobile. It's waiting at the soccer game and figuring out, oh, my kid needs more soccer shoes and being able to see right there which soccer shoes you want to buy and being able to go to Dick's Sporting Goods online and buying them. And then maybe being able to pick them up on your way home. So I think the big trend is really being able to buy everywhere And something that Amazon, you know, Amazon's principles stand on three things, and it's to the test of time. It's price, selection, and availability. Those three things are so critical to shopping. And if you think about it, and you know, our lives are much busier now, we're on the go, we're doing all these things. You want to be able to maybe research online and buy offline. You want to, as the consumer, you have a lot of power and you're making all these decisions all the time. And it's kind of like, I want to be able to shop on my own terms and when I want to do it. If it's 10 o'clock at night, I'm buying online. If it's, you know, on the weekend, I might be able to have time to go to the store. So kind of the trend is it's shopping everywhere and being able to satisfy that.
Absolutely. I think you spoke really well to that. We've spoken with many guests about how physical retail isn't dead, but it certainly helps to have a consistent online experience with a physical store. What advice can you offer to brick and mortar retailers who want to expand their business into e-commerce more?
Yeah. I mean, well, first of all, most sales are in physical stores. So that's still the case. But I think that more and more people, like I said, are doing both. The things that physical retailers can do is enable showrooming more. So if you can, a lot of people want to go see it, feel it, touch it, but maybe they want to buy it online. So the more, and then also something I've noticed, especially supply chains are still not back to normal even now. And so a lot of times you go to stores and things are out of stock or they don't have it. There's a lack of availability. So being able to enable consumers to go to a store, see it, feel it, maybe a makeup store, like let's take an Ulta or a Sephora. They see it, but then if it's out of stock, being able to, in a very easy and simple way, buy it, open up your app, maybe scan it and be able to ship it straight to your home so that you don't have to wait on that long line of the, you know, 20 or 30 people that are waiting to check out. So kind of enabling this more frictionless way of shopping where you can still get the high of being able to see it in person. But if you don't want to wait, or if you don't have the size or the color that you want, that you can buy it online. So kind of enabling more of those experiences. That's the other part, is being experiential. You know, give people a reason to come into stores. So, you know, whether it's makeup events or how to apply makeup with the latest TikTok trends. You know, like think about the trends that are happening and how you can bring those to the store and how you can bring traffic there. That's kind of one of the reasons why Starbucks are in Target stores. You know, you can get your drink and you can shop. You know, really give people a reason to come into your stores.
Well, and it sounds like PackView is really focused on helping retailers accomplish those tasks. So how do you use retail analytics to make recommendations to brands and empower retailers who want to sell online?
Yeah. So just to kind of give a description of PackView, and I'm going to try out our new tagline that we've come up with on you guys. So maybe you'll be my guinea pigs, because this is literally something that we've been working on. What we do has not been named. Like this space has not really been called something. So what we're calling ourselves is a commerce acceleration platform. And we purposely leave off the E. Because really, like I said, it's kind of omnichannel. We're doing a lot of partnerships. We just did a partnership with Nielsen so people can really understand their online and offline share. But we sit on top of all these retailers. And one of the things that we're doing is unifying retail media across Amazon, Walmart, Target, Criteo, Citrus. So Criteo and Citrus are kind of like sitting on top of all other retailers. So, but it's this kind of grand big world of all the retailers that have retail media offerings. And what we're doing is we're bringing all that data into our platform, so that instead of having to log into all, you know, 30 plus different retailers UIs, you can log into PackView and do all of your activation, all of your work in our platform. And then you asked around, like, how are we enabling them? What kind of data are we exposing? So one is around all the sales and inventory data. That's the POS data. But then it's also all the advertising metrics that you're typically able to see, like your impressions, your click-through rates, your conversion rates. And what we're really helping brands do is have better performance of their advertising spend on the retailers. And we've tied it to a lot of the retail metrics. So I'll give you some examples. I only want to advertise profitable to me items. Or I only want to advertise items that have 6 to 8 weeks of supply. On the retailer sites, they kind of usually have I will advertise an item that's in stock or out of stock. But if I have one unit, I will be able to advertise it. That's not as smart as being able to say, hey, I only want to advertise items that I have plenty of inventory in, because otherwise I would just sell out. So we're really making smarter optimizations and automating it so that you don't have to do it manually. And then we're kind of sucking in all this data to help make those decisioning, and we're activating it.
So can you tell us the tagline again, just so we're clear?
Commerce acceleration platform.
Got it.
Love it. Well, with all that data that you guys are collecting, you know, we understand that advertising's one big way that your platform helps brands with its e-commerce. So what makes an effective e-commerce ad?
Yeah, you know, it really depends on your goal. Sometimes your goal might be awareness of a new product launch. Sometimes it might just be sales. So it's really important first to really understand what it is that you're trying to do. And then the other part is, you know, showing the most relevant ad to the right person at the right time. And I'll give you a couple examples. If someone has never bought your brand in the past, you probably shouldn't show them an ad that says, hey, subscribe and save to this product. You've never tried it before. You might want to show them an ad that provides a coupon or a discount first. Then they can try it. If someone has bought your brand, you might want to get them sticky, especially if you're a CPG brand. And then you can say, hey, you've bought this brand in the past, subscribe and save to it. So you would show them a more specific ad that meets their need. That would be some smart ads to show. The other thing, you know, there's really right ways that retailers are being able to expose discounts in ads or review ratings in ads. And that helps people understand more information. And the targeting is the other kind of prize. There's ways that you can say, hey, only put products that have 5-star ratings in an ad. If it has 2 stars, I shouldn't show that in an ad because people aren't going to click on it and convert. So these are some ways that you can be really smart with advertising. The other thing are just the basics, you know, having the right images and having the right, you know, sizes and all that kind of stuff. This is harder than you think it is, because going back to when the pandemic happened and e-commerce moving online, you have to have that type of digital assets, you know, video assets that work online. And for some brands, that's difficult.
Right. There's a whole mix of things that have to be there. So I'm curious if the e-commerce experience has improved for consumers over time. And you see this kind of relationship between sellers and e-commerce platforms getting better or worse.
So one is, I think the tools are getting better that just the retailers are offering. So being able to understand what your sales are, who's buying your product, the tools that retailers are providing to manufacturers and brands, you know, it started out with very, very basic and limited information that they were able to access, to now getting more sophisticated in the reporting and data insights that just coming from the you know, basic UIs of the tools themselves. And then on top of it, adding in layers of reporting and analytics that show what type of products you should be selling, what is having higher conversion rates, what are having more sales, and being able to understand how to improve what people are buying versus what you're putting out there.
Right. So just a follow-up question on that. The data is absolutely key, you know, understanding customer data, understanding seller data. And so have you seen the larger players like Amazon or Instacart change the data that they're providing to sellers?
Yeah. I mean, that's what's gotten even better with time. Amazon has launched what they call Amazon Marketing Cloud. And that is just a robust amount of information that brands can access. And it tells them more information about who their customer is, what was the last ad that was clicked when they bought their product. It's, you know, hundreds of information in Excel, basically, that you could be mining. And so we're leveraging that information to help brands understand more and more about the customers who are shopping and what people are doing before they, you know, click to buy their products. That data, being able to crunch through and understand what actually drove the purchase, what was the last ad they saw, whether it was on a mobile or whether it was desktop, or, you know, where it was and how it happened, that's increasingly more information they're getting. Instacart has a lot of great data insights that they call, I can't remember their latest terminology for it because they changed it, but they provide a lot of insights and trends around behaviors that help brands understand more about who the customer is on Instacart, what types of products that work well on Instacart, and things like that. And so, you know, part of the reason why is because retailers know access to brands' budgets, it's through data insights and ROI and things like that. And so the more data that they can provide, the more potential budgets and support they'll get from brands. And because there's so much real-time sales data available in e-commerce, that's a data-rich environment.
Absolutely. And, you know, kind of playing off of that data-rich environment and the insights that you guys provide, are there some guiding principles or keystones that brands, you know, can use to be successful as e-commerce retailers?
There's a lot. I mean, one is the team. You know, e-commerce, I guess, started with Amazon in, 1998. So 20 plus years ago. And getting e-commerce talent has been kind of a shift through time. These brands are building out e-commerce teams. More and more people, there's like an alumnus of Amazonians that have now infiltrated Walmarts and Instacarts and even the brands. And so this e-commerce expertise and knowledge of how to be successful online, that's kind of the first thing, is being able to have the right people or partners. So people are using agencies if they don't have it in-house, or they're hiring the talent in-house to be able to make the decisions of how to best grow their e-commerce businesses. You know, designing for the online shelf is really critical. So it's understanding the packaging. I remember early days at Amazon, one of the biggest challenges was leaky caps. You know, laundry detergent would just spill all over books and all kinds of stuff. And people would, that was the worst thing. Customers would just complain about, you know, all the things that would happen. And so designing the right products that ship well, you know, bulky products, heavy products are very unprofitable for online. So, you know, what are the right products that you can sell? How can you be profitable? Things like that are really critical for these brands to be successful.
I love it. Are there some client success stories or, you know, just clients that you've find particularly interesting for the journey that they experience that you could share with us?
I mean, one, they're not a client. I would love them to be. But one person that, or one brand that I've really admired is one called Dude Wipes. Do you know this brand?
I don't.
Well, I'm a dude, so.
So he needs please tell
him. You know it?
Yes. Yes, I do. But why don't you explain it to us?
They built a category. So there's this kind of toilet paper category and, you know, the typical brands, you know, of Charmin and, you know, P&G and all the kind of traditional companies that have made those kind of products. But, you know, the type of product of Dude Wipes, I will let you research for the people listening of what that product is. But, you know, it was a category that didn't exist. And he started it out of his house. And it has become this like huge brand and that now has sought deep distribution. He's also really the founder of it, has a really great personality that he does a lot of social media and he has a lot of potty behavior or potty humor that really works for him. Like that's part of his brand. It's his branding. So I think that brand, you know, grew up really quickly. It created a whole category and it's dominated it and it's gotten really popular. So, you know, there's all these trends that have happened in this space. Now it's also like the soda waters that are probiotic soda waters, like Poppy. That was kind of a trend and those have gotten really popular. So, you know, brands that have been digitally native, like Dude Wipes that started out that way, and then they've reached distribution into stores. There's a lot of stories around that. And it's been cool to see some of these brands kind of take off.
Right. And it's fascinating how you can online create a product category for even a product that doesn't really exist yet or isn't getting there. So I'm thinking especially of the Rumple. The Rumple is basically a sleeping bag that you can use just as a blanket. It doesn't unzip and really, really warm and cuddly. And there's been a number of other things that people have cooked up, like the water liquid death. was actually marketed before they had a physical product. And so you can create a product category, see if there's any interest in it, and then you can sell the product once the audience is interested. It kind of flips around the whole put the product out there and see if they'll come. You're putting the brand out there or the idea out there and see if people show up, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly. And it's really kind of an interesting way, leveraging influencers, leveraging channels like TikTok and Instagram, to get a lot more traction for your brand. So it's starting in a very opposite direction than traditional. And, you know, of course, it's kind of e-commerce is less of a moat for products. It allows you to just start selling and get some easy feedback. You know, if you get a lot of one-star customer reviews, it gives you a lot of information about if your product is not good or it doesn't smell good. Right. It helps you really understand and mine that data to understand how you can make it better. So some people use e-commerce as like a way to get a lot of product feedback very quickly to understand how to even create products.
Got it. So just to follow up on that, the product creation, as we just said, can be kind of an ideation instead of a physical product creation. And I'm curious if there's any way of tracking or any tools, maybe through PackView or others, that allow somebody to track, if they have 12 ideas out there, which one is really getting traction? Which one should they go off and find somebody to build? Is that a thing that exists?
Yeah, we actually, so one of our sister companies is a company called Helium 10, and that is part of our kind of umbrella company. And they have a lot of tools that help sellers understand the category and the market size and what products that they should be creating. So yes, there are tools that we have that help sellers and brands understand what they should even be creating and starting with and how big the market is. Because that's something you want to start with, is understanding the TAM. Like, is this something that's going to be a big market and there's like a bunch of people are going to want to buy this or not? And then it gives you a bunch of information about what are the products out there? What price should I be at? Just kind of a lot of information to help you even create what are the right, you know, mining the trends and understanding what people are searching on to even come up with what are the products I should be building.
Very, very useful. Thank you. Well, so once you have the product out there and you've defined your market and you're selling, how do you keep people coming back? We have many conversations on this podcast about how brick and mortar retailers can create loyalty and engagement. So I am curious, what does loyalty look like for e-commerce retailers?
Well, how can you not talk about that without talking about the fan clubs for music, like the Taylor Swift fan club and the Madonna fan club? And I think that's a really good example of how people who want Taylor Swift concert tickets had to be part of her fan club to be able to get them, and you were able to reward them. I think that part of it is, what are the rewards that people, you know, like making sure that you're part of loyalty programs are providing frictionless ways. I won't say that the Taylor Swift one, that was definitely not frictionless.
Yeah, I was going to call you on that one. I mean, not frictionless, let me tell you.
Yeah, that's the opposite. You want to have like frictionless ways to be able to reward people. And the best loyalty program of all is Amazon Prime, right? I mean, they started with fast free shipping as a Prime. That was like very revolutionary when they first started the program. And if you look at Prime over the years, one of the things that they've done is they kept adding perks. And I think that's the other critical part, is like making sure that it's actually something that people want. And so, you know, they added things like Amazon Prime Video, which just became the top streaming service, pushing past Netflix. And then another innovation that they just launched was RX Pass, which is $5 a month loyalty program that then you get subscriptions. The average consumer pays $100 a month for their subscriptions. So $5 is a lot of innovation around that. You know, I think some other ways that brands come up with these events are Third Love Bra Company. You know, they use a tiered system with three tiers. The more you buy, the more perks you get, like annual birthday gifts and early access and exclusive offers. So that exclusivity part is really important to people with buying into these brands. But I think part of it is the frictionless part is kind of important, because if you can't get access to it or you can't use it, airlines are kind of feels like, you know, there's blackout dates and there's a lot of friction with their loyalty programs. But giving people things that they like, things that they are going to then share with friends and have that influencer effect is helpful.
That's great to know. And with the e-commerce loyalty, I'm curious if you see any shifts happening in terms of e-commerce or mobile loyalty. Like the only loyalty app that I use all the time besides our own company, Spark Loyalty, is also the Starbucks loyalty system. And I use it only on mobile. And so I'm curious if there's a difference between mobile and kind of e-commerce without mobile in terms of loyalty.
I mean, one thing for sure, to your point, I mean, consumer trend is shifting more and more towards mobile. I think there's more mobile sales than desktop at this point. But I think it's important that your loyalty program works kind of on both. And the one I forgot to mention is Subscribe and Save. Like that's the best loyalty program, especially for consumable products, where you enroll to buy auto delivery. So pet food or, you know, your shampoo or, you know, whatever it is that you're kind of buying on a somewhat frequent basis, whether it's 1 month or 6 months, and you give people a discount for opting into that. And it's a great thing for retailers because shipping's really expensive. And so this is a way that they can, you know, kind of not have to ship to you in 2 days or overnight. They can have a longer time to ship to you, which is cheaper to them. And then to the consumer, you know, you never run out. So that's a good kind of synergistic. It's good for the retailer and it's good for the consumer. And that's a win-win for that kind of a loyalty program for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, just for a little bit of fun too, are there any e-commerce brands today that you particularly would want to call out as doing the customer loyalty program well?
That is a really good question. I mean, I think Third Love, the bra company that I mentioned, they've been called out as a really good kind of brand that's doing it well. In terms of on retailers brands, it's harder because you're part of the retailer. So if you're buying on Amazon, you're buying at Walmart, it's kind of you're plugged into the retailer's program, like Amazon Prime or Walmart Plus has their program. So there's a little bit less of its own personality to have. You know, I think Sephora has a pretty good brand loyalty program. That's something like 80% of their annual sales is made up of their loyal members. And makeup is really expensive. So, you know, they give things like discounts and gift cards so that they can go buy products and makeup. So yeah.
Well, so if we took your expertise and projected it 5 to 10 years into the future, where's e-commerce going? Are we all going to be buying goods through our smart contacts? Or, you know, what's the future of retail analytics and e-commerce? In a nutshell, we don't have 2 hours.
Is it Minority Report where you're kind of walking down the street and you kind of see things and you can buy it? Like, I think we're pretty close to that, which is kind of funny, but something that's been pretty top of mind for me is, and I don't know if you guys have been following all this stuff with ChatGPT and OpenAI and how Microsoft and Google are really just, you know, head to head in that race. And they're both launching, you know, stuff around this in the next month and integrating it into their, you know, Office and things like that. I think a lot of that is relevant in the e-commerce space of having that kind of automation and functionality. And it's things like create a detail page that's SEO optimized and it looks in my category at the top ranked 1 and 2 items and it integrates all the good things about those items into my detail page content. I think things like that are really going to start happening very, very quickly, probably this year. And more tools are going to be created around that. And it's around, you know, ad imagery or product detail page content and imagery. And I think that the more smart ways that people can automatically create content really quickly. And this is things that are done by agencies or people today. I think a lot of it's going to be automated and it gets to be maybe a little bit of a scary place at some point, but I think that it'll automate things, make it easier for people. But that's where I think it's all kind of going in the next, you know, even 2 years is leveraging AI to be quicker, faster, build products. So you asked about like, what are the tools that you need to be able to understand what to create? I mean, think about if you had that information at your fingertips in a second, that being able to know I should create a, you know, rose water face, whatever, like whatever it is that you need to create based on so much data and it tells you. And the other thing is the speed, you know, we think we work fast today. The speed of business is going to be even faster. So that's what I think happens in the future.
Wow. So everything's accelerating. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's part of why we put that in our name.
Brilliant. Brilliant. You're keeping your eye on the future. I love it. You know, as a fun wrap-up question, Melissa, we'd love to ask you kind of more of a personal question. And that's what would you want your legacy to be? You know, what do you want to be remembered for?
That is such a hard one. And I think my answer to that is I want to spend my next 10 years doing that. I don't think I've figured that out enough. One of the things that I've done my whole career is help brands make more money or help people be more efficient. And I'd like to do something that has a bit more of a, and be remembered more for a charitable aspect, you know, helping people, I don't know, but something that gives back or something that is a little bit more community focused. That's what I think at some point, I think like a lot of people, I haven't figured it out yet, and that's okay.
Absolutely. You know, we love that openness and that authenticity that you have around that. So, you know, here's to the next 10 years and seeing what you discover for yourself.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. This has been really fascinating. I need to go look up some of the companies that you mentioned and learn more about what they're doing with e-commerce. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Spark Plug is a wholly owned property of Snowshoe, copyright 2022-2023, Spark Plug Media.